session, in attendance, Scotto Olson, Samuels, Ramris, Elkins, Ledoux. We are excited to be here. I think Representative Seaton is presenting a bill up in House Finance. And Commissioner, are you with us today? Are we going to, first we're going to do up these confirmations. We want to do that first?
Yeah.
First we're going to do Bonnie Williams with the Board of Fish, Mr. Leif Wilson with Big Game Life. Leif, I'm thinking of that rock star, that teen rock star, Leif Garrett. How did you say his name?
Same guy.
Yeah. Bonnie Williams for the Board of Fish and Leif Wilson for the Big Game Commercial Services Board. Is Bonnie Wilson with us? Bonnie?
Yeah, I'm here.
It is so nice to hear your voice. And
thank you.
Bonnie Williams is, she has been a matriarch in the community of Fairbanks for many years. She's had three terms on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly and a long tenured service with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And you've been a great leader in our community, Bonnie. So with that, I'll ask you to introduce yourself and try and top my introduction.
Thank you. Those were nice words, Representative. My name is Bonnie Williams. I'm pleased to be before you today to provide whatever information you may need. I applied for the Board of Fish on the understanding that there was a need for someone from the interior who would represent, speak for, and advocate for the interests of sport fishing and personal use or subsistence fishing. My own fishing background began around the age of 9 when I learned how to fish in the Santa Ana River in the San Bernardino Mountains of Southern California. I carried on that pursuit since off the coast of Southern California, all around the Channel Islands, in the Caribbean, in the Aegean, off the coast of Turkey, and in rivers and streams in New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, Yukon Territory, every nook and cranny of Alaska that our family has managed to reach so far. And as you know, Alaska's big. We haven't reached every nook and cranny. It adds up at this point to 55 years spent happily fishing here and there, and it's comforting to know that a day spent fishing is not counted against one's total days on Earth. I have no degree, no expertise in the area of biology and fisheries management, nor do I pretend to in-depth knowledge of the more technical areas of sport fishing or commercial fishing. However, I do have extensive experience in the process of taking public interests and public comment, expert testimony, legal counsel, and ordinary common sense, and from these elements forging a sound, reasonable, and functional public determination.
Bonnie?
Yes.
Are you tough?
I think I might be the meanest person in Fairbanks.
Yeah. But in a nice way.
Yeah, I guess in a nice way. I just got a little bit more here. You cited my 9 years' experience on the assembly. Last week, I went to the Fairbanks Local Advisory Council. They held their monthly meeting. I attended the first 3 hours, and you know, they talked about the Board of Game Area and then the Board of Fish Areas, and it was like an echo of life on the Borough Assembly. The subjects were different, the process was the same, and so too was the need for listening, homework, questioning, and debate. In fact, I had to throttle back my urge not to leap into the debates. If confirmed, it would be my goal to ensure a healthy, strong fishery throughout Alaska, one that sustains and meets the needs of subsistence, commercial fishing, and sports fishing. I think we've been blessed with a wonderful natural resource, and so long as we act wisely, there will always be enough for all Alaskans. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Representative Gatto has a question for you, Bonnie.
Good.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Bonnie.
Good afternoon.
Just a couple things. You were in the University of Copenhagen?
Yeah, for one semester, right.
Okay, and I'm not going to dwell on that. I just have one serious objection about your candidacy, and that is you are in the Optimist Club of Fairbanks?
Right.
You're telling me you're an optimist?
Yes, I am. I am an optimist. I believe good can be done in the Board of Fish.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Mary Bishop tells me I'm crazy.
Are there any other questions for Bonnie? Representative Ledoux.
Yes, Bonnie. I have one concern about your candidacy for this. And that is, well, maybe I should ask you before I say this. Are you familiar with any of the concepts that may be brought before you with respect to the Board of Fish, with respect to Gulf of Alaska rationalization, state parallel fishing, processor quota shares, processor linkage, et cetera?
I'm beginning to become familiar with them. Let me put it that way. So far, I have collected 7 binders worth of material that I'm going to have to go through and understand and rationalize. And yes, yesterday evening I attended a meeting of the AOC-TVSA. It was a joint meeting, and one of the things we talked about there a little bit was rationalization. I'm familiar. I'm not knowledgeable or expert. I'll be ready for my first meeting, though.
Follow-up?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, and I realize that you've said that you've got the ability to, you know, listen to testimony and come up with, you know, some good common sense solutions. But sometimes I wonder if in the fisheries field that is even a possibility.
Well, if we don't try, we won't get there, will we?
I guess not. Thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Other questions for Ms. Williams? Chairman Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bonnie, I think the best qualification you can bring is a willingness to learn the issues. And that being said, how much time have you spent in other parts of the state? There's a huge difference in the fisheries in Bristol Bay and the conflicts between sport and commercial out there than there are in Kenai. And then in Southeast, every part of the state seems to have a unique problem and unique conflicts going on. So how much time have you spent in other parts of the state other than the interior?
I worked for Representative Pete Kelly back in 97, so I lived in Juneau for a while. And I've been to Sitka and Ketchikan. Have done fishing and other things down in the Kenai Peninsula and also in the Matsu area. I have not been to western or northwestern or northern Alaska.
Okay.
I've been down almost, well, I've been to St. Mary's, the length of the Yukon to St. Mary's and back, stopping at every village along the way. So I feel pretty familiar with the Yukon area. Haven't been on the Kuskokwim.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Bonnie? Bonnie, with that, if you'll just stand by. We've got a couple of people from the Kenai River Sports Fishing Association that would like to weigh in on your appointment. But we thank you very much for your testimony, and I thank you in particular as being a representative of Fairbanks. You're a pleasure to know and to work with, and I value you greatly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. With that, Mr. Ron Rainey in Soldotna.
Yes, Chairman, thank you. My name is Ron Rainey. I'm chairman of Kenai River Sport Fishing. I've only talked to Mrs. Williams by phone, but she said on that day and again today she's a lifelong sports fisher person, so that, of course, is very important to Kenai River Sport Fishing. But one of the most important qualities I learned from our co-chairman today, Representative Ramirez, he said that if you put Mrs. Williams in a room full of with 10 men, and she represented the only opposing view, she would definitely hold her own. Now, that's a quality that we certainly can use on the Board of Fish. And I've watched many people begin this process on the Board of Fish, and someone that will study the issues, willing to learn, and willing to listen to the constituencies will make a good board member. And we're looking forward to her tenure on the Board of Fish, and we strongly support Mrs. Williams.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rainey. Questions? Thank you very much for weighing in, sir. And, Ricky, are you there, please?
Yes, I just want to echo. My name is Ricky Geese. I'm the Executive Director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. I think it's important for the Board of Fisheries to have people who are willing to listen, who have the ability to sift through data, listen to expert testimony, ask questions, and debate. I think this would be a welcome addition to the Board of Fisheries, and I encourage her confirmation.
Thank you very much, sir. Any questions for Mr. Geese? We appreciate you taking time today to weigh in on that through the Kenai. We thank you very much. Can I have a motion to advance her name to the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we forward the name of Bonnie Williams to the full House for confirmation to the Board of Fish.
Seeing no objection, we will proceed. Bonnie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, if we can go to Mr. Wilson. How do you say your first name, sir?
It's Leif, Mr. Chairman.
Like the rock star?
Yes.
Right on.
There you go.
Go ahead and introduce yourself, please. We're happy to have you, sir.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Leif Wilson. I live at 0.5 mile Sourdough Lane in Tok, Alaska. And I'm happy to be here before you today. I'm the president and director of operations of 40 Mile Air. We're a commuter air taxi, and we have a big game transporter license number 6. I'm an airframe and power plant mechanic, and I have an airline transport pilot rating. I've been around the guide and transporter industry most of my life. As a kid growing up, here in Tok, my dad was a guide. Then in my early 20s, after I went and got some education, I came back and I started working for 40 Mile Air with Charlie Warblow at the time, and as first as a mechanic, then as a pilot, and then in 1999, me and two partners bought the business from him, and I've been operating it ever since. We fly a fair number of transport, a fair number of hunters each year for several different species. We also do quite a bit of work for guides in the area here. I've been on the Upper Tanana Fish and Game Advisory Committee for the last 7 years, been involved in that process, and have gone to the Board of Game meetings a couple of times, well, 3 times, I guess, and testified those times. And I'd be happy also to answer any questions you may have.
Excellent. Mr. Wilson, any questions? Chair Sanders?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Mr. Wilson, there's an inherent conflict sometimes between the transporters and the guides and the local users in an area. So what have you come across in your experience as a transporter, and how would you think that what will you bring to the table would help resolve some of those conflicts between those three user groups?
Well, I have come across conflicts between all three of those user groups, and what I've found out here, especially at the last at the Big Game Commercial Services Board meeting, the one that I have attended, was that things are completely different in different areas of the state, and we've all got our own different problems. What we have come across here locally is conflicts between guides, transporters, and some private people. I believe, you know, I have an ability to see it from all aspects. I've been on all sides of it. I currently have a good relationship with all of the guides, at least the local guides that operate in the areas that I operate in. I have agreements, personal agreements with several of them as to who will hunt different areas. May have managed to work that out. The biggest problems that we've seen in this area has been from specifically like non-resident guides and guides that come in and don't live in the community and don't have any connection to the community or the land that they are using. And I've been in this area. I was born in Glen Allen and grew up in this area. And guys, like last year, I mean, I ran into a couple of guys that I'd never seen or heard from before. And that was some of the problems that we have here. I'm learning quickly about problems they have in other areas. Out west, I know there's been considerable problems with a lot of transporters, and I've heard from the boat guys, and I've spent time in different parts of Alaska throughout my life, and so I think I've got a reasonable clue, and I am learning a lot more about the different areas.
Thank you. And have you ever worked as a guide or just as a transporter in the air taxi?
I've never worked as a guide, no sir, only as a transporter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Wilson? Seeing none, Mr. Wilson, we thank you very much for your public service to the state of Alaska. It takes a lot of time, and often you have more rocks thrown at you than flowers. So we appreciate that, and with that, I'd entertain a motion from the committee to advance Mr. Wilson's name.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we advance the name of Leif Wilson to the full body for consideration for a seat on the Big Game Commercial Services Board.
Seeing no objection, Mr. Wilson's name will be advanced. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Wilson, and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, next up today is House Bill 328, the ban on mixing zones and spawning areas by Representative Seaton. This bill was scheduled for Monday. We're going to take it up today. I will remind the members that public testimony is closed, but we do have Commissioner Mackay Campbell, who is invited to testify on this issue. Representative Gatto?
I have some information on version L. But I'm not sure what Jim Pound do we even have a version L.
I think version L is the wanton waste of Big Game. Is that on?
No, it says mixing zone regs.
Oh, does it?
And then, you know, when I have a version I, and my question, maybe I got confused with L in just the printing.
And I have up that we are working with version C of the bill is what I have up.
So C is the latest?
I don't have C.
Oh, I've got
an I,
too.
Mm-hmm. I have a C.
Can I have a copy of C, please? I need a copy of C.
Yeah, let's go off record here for a moment until we're all on the same page, please.
Yeah.
Back on the record, and Representative Elkins is with us. I thought you were with us before. I think I was late. And Representative Kapsner is with us. We do have Lynn Kent from Anchorage, D.C., who's available to answer questions. And Commissioner Campbell is here from Fish and Game. Commissioner? We're delighted to have you with us.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Lynn Kent actually has some testimony on behalf of the administration, and then if I can help with questions, I'd be happy to.
Okay, sure. So.
And we also have Carrie Howard, Director of the Office of Habitat and Management.
Great. Would you like to come up, Carrie? Oh, just for questions? Okay.
Carrie Howard.
Commissioner, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I believe we have Lynn Kent on the line, and if it would be appropriate, she actually has a prepared statement, I think then we would just answer questions.
Okay. Thank you. Lynn, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. If you'd go ahead, please, Lynn.
Mr. Chairman, one thing I wasn't sure of is what kind of time restrictions you might have today.
We actually, you're the only thing remaining on our schedule. We have an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon. My name is Lynn Kent. I'm the director of the Division of Water at Department of Environmental Conservation, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today to provide the administration's position and some comments on House Bill 328. I'd like to start with just a little bit of background at the at the indulgence of some of the committee members who are also on the Fisheries Committee and may have heard some of this in the past at a prior committee hearing. First of all, on water quality standards, DEC has the responsibility to adopt water quality standards that will protect multiple uses of Alaska's water. So those uses include things like use for drinking water, growth and propagation of aquatic life, domestic, commercial, and industrial use, and recreational uses. A mixing zone, as we use it and as it's also defined in the bill, is basically an area in a water body where treated wastewater is discharged and it's allowed to mix with that water body. Our water quality standards can be exceeded within that mixing zone, but the overall use of the water body has to be protected. Just a few factoids here. Mixing zones are only allowed as a part of a wastewater discharge permit, and all of those permits have to undergo public review and comment. Their size and their shape are calculated by our engineers using mathematical models. They use site-specific information, including things like the concentration of the pollutants that will be discharged, the water volumes, the flow rates, and calculations on low flow rates. All states use them. They're allowed under the Federal Clean Water Act, and they're highly regulated by the department. And I want to just touch on how they're regulated by the department. Every mixing zone, regardless of its relationship to fish spawning, has to go through a fairly rigorous test that is established in DEC regulations. When we're considering a request for a mixing zone authorization under our regulations, we have to consider things such as the characteristics of the receiving water and the effluent. We have to consider effects, including cumulative effects, if there are multiple discharges into a single waterway. We have to consider measures that would mitigate potential adverse effects to aquatic resources. We also, via regulation, have to make a number of findings, and I'm just going to touch on a few of those. First is that the effluent is going to be treated to remove, reduce, and disperse the pollutants using the most effective methods that are technologically and economically feasible and meet the highest statutory and regulatory treatment requirements. So, in other words, a mixing zone is not an opportunity to avoid treatment. The wastewater needs to be treated first. The department has to find that the designated and existing uses of the water body as a whole will be maintained and protected, that the overall biological integrity of the water body will not be impaired, and that the mixing zone is as small as practicable. Our regulations also include a long list of things that a mixing zone cannot do, and I'll just touch on those that affect fish, since that's mostly what we're concerned about with the legislation that's before you. So under our regulations, a mixing zone cannot result in a toxic effect in the water column, sediments, or biota outside the boundaries of the mixing zone. It cannot preclude or limit established processing activities, commercial sport, personal use, or subsistence fish and shellfish harvesting. Cannot result in a reduction in fish or shellfish populations. Cannot result in permanent or irreparable displacement of indigenous species. It can't contain pollutants that bioaccumulate, bioconcentrate, or persist above natural levels. They can't produce objectionable odor, taste, color, in aquatic resources that are harvested for humans to consume, and they can't cause lethality to passing organisms. So with that bit of background, I'd like to talk a little bit about the bill. The department has provided written testimony to the committee in opposition to the bill, and we identified in that written testimony 8 different reasons. I did take a look at version C of the bill, and I believe that most of our written comments that were actually made on the fisheries version of the bill also apply to version C of the bill that's before you, with possibly the exception of how version C treats mixing zones for plaster mines. So just to summarize a few of those written concerns with the bill, first, the bill isn't necessary to protect anadromous salmon from either a scientific or a perception basis. Our DEC regulations prohibit mixing zones in anadromous salmon spawning areas. House Bill 328 would put that same protection for the 5 species of anadromous salmon in statute that have been a part of DEC's regulations since 1975. While this flat-out prohibition is not necessary from a scientific perspective, our regulations actually in this bill go beyond sound science to address the need to protect salmon marketing and the public perception that Alaska salmon are clean and healthy.
Would you repeat that, please?
Yes. The regulations that we have on the books today, as well as some of the provisions in House Bill 328, those provisions that prohibit a mixing zone in an anadromous salmon spawning area, those are the same for our regulations and for the bill. But the comment is that that prohibition, that flat-out prohibition on a salmon, on a mixing zone in a salmon spawning area, isn't necessary in all cases from a scientific perspective. But our regs, and indeed this bill, kind of go beyond what is necessary from a scientific perspective to protect salmon, to also protect the salmon marketing and the public perception that those fish are coming from clean and healthy water. Second, there's no justification for extending the mixing zone prohibition that is currently in place to protect salmon marketing to also protect the resident fish species that are listed in the bill. This bill would prevent DEC from authorizing a mixing zone in a non-salmon fish spawning area, for example, spawning areas for lampreys and smelts, even in cases where science can demonstrate that the mixing zone will have no adverse impacts on spawning. Third, the bill would prohibit reauthorization of a mixing zone that has later become a fish spawning area after that initial authorization, unless the discharge happens to be from a municipal or village wastewater facility. The department believes that businesses as well as communities should not lose their authorized mixing zone just because fish begin to spawn in them. Fourth, the bill contains a definition of area that runs counter to both historical and current practices in place by the Departments of Fish and Game and Natural Resources when they determine a spawning area on both a spatial and temporal basis. Our fisheries resources, the sensitivity of our fisheries resources is really seasonal, and our resource agencies have traditionally used seasonal restrictions to control the impacts of development to the environment, including things like wastewater discharge, and the bill would preclude that longstanding practice. I won't touch on the others that are in the written testimony there. You have copies of those, I'm sure. I would like to mention, though, how a little bit about how the placer miners are dealt with under version C of the bill. That version of the bill places new restrictions on existing placer mines that don't take effect until the currently permitted operator applies for a reauthorization of their permit. And that permit that they're operating under right now doesn't expire until the fall of 2010. There are 32 placer mines who are currently permitted to discharge with timing restrictions placed on when they can discharge in order to avoid spawning. 28 of those facilities have an authorized mixing zone that is greater than 500 feet in length, and that's the proposed limitation in the committee substitute. By and large, I'd say that most of these facilities have, under our current regulations, already done everything they can do to ensure that their mixing zone is as small as practicable. So it's likely that many of these facilities cannot be re-permitted under that 500-foot mixing zone limitation that's in the version C of the bill, even though they're currently operating without an adverse impact to spawning. For new placer mine operations, the provisions of the bill would take place immediately or when the bill is authorized. So the permit for those new placer mines would have to reflect the new restrictions that are included in subsection C of the bill. We're concerned that this might set up a bit of a double standard for the existing versus new placer mines, at least during that period of time for the next four placer mining seasons and when the current permit expires. And then last, at the last committee hearing, we were asked for some feedback on the fiscal impact associated with version C of the bill. Our prior fiscal note, which I believe was for $51,000, included the work associated with canceling and reauthorizing placer mine permits, but this new version of the bill, version C, would eliminate the need for us to re-permit those existing facilities midstream. We wouldn't re-permit them until such time as the permit would be up against its normal permit renewal cycle. So there would be no cost to the department associated with that. We would still have a responsibility to rewrite our mixing zone regulations, which are included in our water quality standards. And because of that, there are some federal requirements that we have to meet in terms of rewriting those regulations, like a mandatory hearing and a specified permit or public comment period on those regulations. So there would still be a fiscal impact associated with version C, but it would be smaller than the fiscal note that you have before you. And that's it for my comments. I'm available for questions as well.
Are there any questions for Ms. Gill? Representative Ledoux.
One of the things that I'm concerned about is I represent a number of communities on Iliamna Lake, New Halen, Iliamna, Kakanak, Pedro Bay. Under the current version of this bill, what's going to happen in the future if one of these communities needs a permit for a public wastewater treatment discharge?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Under this version of the bill, if that community needs a new domestic wastewater discharge permit, either from a new sewage treatment plant or an expanded facility, and they want to discharge in an area that has, for instance, resident spawning fish, this bill would preclude that. So that facility would need to find an alternative for their disposal location.
Can you... I guess I'm not really sure yet what resident fish reds are.
Mr. Chairman, that might be a better question for Commissioner Campbell to respond to.
Okay.
Or Kerry Howard.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, or either.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ledoux, in terms of resident fish reds, this term is actually used in a permitting sense to apply to two different things. One is actual reds similar to salmon reds where the fish is going to fan a depression in the gravel where it is going to deposit its eggs. But we also use it from a permitting basis for broadcast areas of broadcast spawning. And do you want to expand on that?
I guess I would elaborate. This is Kerry Howard. I'm the Director of the Office of Habitat Management and Permitting at DNR. Another way to think of reds is simply a nest, again, a kind of smoothing away of the gravel so the fish can deposit their eggs. Broadcast spawners don't spawn into a nest per se. They passively release their eggs and sperm into the water column and they drift downstream. So red really applies to the more direct spawners.
Yeah. Representative Ledoux.
I think this is back to Ms. Kent. For the communities that I've mentioned, like right off of Iliamna Lake, is it going to be likely that most of the shorelines, bays, and immediate water bodies off the shore are going to be off the limits?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not familiar with that specific area and what species might be present in their life cycle, and I don't know if the representative from Fish and Game or DNR know that either off the top of their head.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ledoux, I am familiar with that area, and the answer is yes, under this bill.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from Ms. Kent? Or Kerry, or the Commissioner from the committee? Okay. Seeing none, I think that we will set this bill aside. Thank you very much, Commissioner. There is presently no other business before the committee. Today, we will meet again on Wednesday. We'll take up House Bill 378, which is the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve Advisory Council and HB 498 tax credits on non-conventional oil and gas, which is heavy oil. With that, it's 2 p.m., and resources is adjourned.